Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 9th of July, 2024, coming to you from the SBS newsroom. The Australian share market rose today by 0.9%. We'll have the details with Grady Wolfe from Bell Direct. But first, to business confidence and jobs, where it appears the great resignation is over. So during the pandemic, an increasing number of people changed jobs, chasing higher wages as border restrictions contributed to a skills shortage. But now, the Bureau of Statistics says job mobility has returned to pre-pandemic levels, meaning only 8% of employed people found a new job in the year to February. NAB's monthly business survey, also out today, found a sharp decline in its employment index, now below its long-run average, and signalling a slowing economy may be flowing through to labour demand. For more, I spoke with Gareth Spence, NAB's head of Australian economics. Gareth, first of all, how would you describe the way businesses are feeling at the moment?
Oh, look, you know, interesting part of our survey today is really actually a bit of a rebound in confidence. So, you know, conditions declined again in the month. They're now a little bit below average, or a bit more clearly below their long-run average. But confidence, which has actually been below average for quite a while, rebounded. So, you know, closely watching that, trying to decipher sort of what that means, but it is still below average. So I think really, you know, what we know for businesses is that they're quite feeling, you know, the strain of the tight labour market, particularly difficulty finding suitable labour, and also the wage pressures that you know, we've kind of seen over the last couple of years. And those things are really coming through our surveys quite strongly. We'll get an update on that next week. But, you know, around 50 to 60% of respondents in the surveys are sort of listing those as the biggest drivers of business confidence at the moment.
What are they saying about cost pressures and the way that may flow through to inflation?
Look, they're still saying that cost pressures are quite high. They did dip back a little bit in the month, and they've kind of trended down from those very high rates we saw in late kind of 22 through 2023. But they're still tracking quite strongly, right? So we know, you know, anecdotally, it's not just the labour costs and the cost pressures in the services sector that are kind of coming through, but it's the broader things like utilities, you know, commercial rents, and even insurance on the business side. You know, it's certainly been a story on the consumer price side, but it's coming through on the business side. So, encouraging in the survey today that it did dip back. You know, what we know is the two sort of components that flow in through to consumer prices. So the retail price component edged up and is still strong. But on the services side, so personal and recreation and personal services actually eased back quite a way. So a bit of a mixed story. It looks like it is easing in a trend sense, but it is still quite high.
So speaking of mixed, right, so we hear from the confidence side of things, if businesses, that's up. When we look at the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Index also out today, it showed that consumer sentiment and consumer confidence is down. Why is there this divergence between the two?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a long-running divergence now. It's certainly, you know, our confidence or the business confidence measure in the NAB business survey is below average. It's certainly not at kind of what you would call GFC or kind of recessionary levels, but it is weak. That's obviously the sharp contrast to consumer confidence, as you mentioned, which is quite weak and has been weak for quite a while. I think really the difference is what individuals are feeling, you know, the interest rates, inflation itself coming through, even the tax burden we know is really weighing on the consumer and the household, and that is coming through on that side. In the business sector, you know, it is quite interesting. Confidence has been weak. I think they look at the consumer and they expect that to flow through, and it hasn't quite happened to that extent yet. But conditions have been quite good, and I think, you know, one of the key parts that really has emerged and we're kind of well across now is, you know, the strong growth in the population really has supported the business sector. And, you know, despite that slowing in growth we all talk about, the level of activity is actually still quite high. So for businesses, a slightly different story, but maybe, you know, their concerns more focused in a consumer sense looking forward and how that flows through to them. But, you know, right at the minute, or certainly over the last 6 months, you know, conditions, so the employment, the trading, the profitability have kind of been quite resilient.
Can we drill down into jobs for a bit? Some interesting stats from the ABS out also today saying that job mobility has returned to pre-pandemic times, suggesting that term, the Great Resignation, is over. Combined with the fact that your employment index is now below the long-run average, what do you think all of this combined says about the labour market, how workers are feeling, and the direction of the unemployment rate?
Yeah, look, we're watching that very closely. I think, you know, the RBA, Treasury, the policymakers, all the economists certainly are looking very closely. We know rates kind of, you know, leveled off roughly since about November last year. That's quite a while. They're quite high. We've certainly seen activity slow. So, you know, you saw that GDP growth of just 0.1% in Q1. We don't expect it to be much better in Q2. You know, in annual terms, is tracking at the slowest since kind of, you know, the early 2000s outside of the COVID period. So I think, you know, everybody's sort of looking for that. We know there is a bit of a lag to the labour market, but generally it's been quite resilient to date, right? So I think, you know, it certainly has cooled. You know, it's come through a few stats, you know, particularly things like job vacancies and job ads. You know, the job vacancy statistics released late last month from the ABS showed, you know, another 3% fall in the quarter. They're down 28% from their peak, but very, very amazingly are still up 55% on pre-COVID kind of level. So, you know, you're right there. There is a bit of a dichotomy or a bit of a tension, and we're all looking for, you know, the impact of this slower growth and what it means for the labour market. You know, I think clearly at the margin, labour demand growth has slowed and the labour market is cooling. The unemployment rate is, you know, about 0.5% just off its, you know, 70-year low of 3.5%. We think, you know, it'll keep rising. Our story is a little bit nuanced. I think it's kind of similar to a few others, but really, you know, it's just really that strong population growth not being matched by labour demand that leads to the increase kind of in the unemployment rate, rather than, you know, widespread job shedding at this point. And that is consistent with those leading indicators being quite strong. You know, we'll see next week. We'll get another read on a monthly basis of the labour market. We think it'll edge up to kind of that 4.1. And really the story there again is, you know, we think employment growth will be positive, but it needs to be doing something like 38,000 a month to kind of, you know, match that population growth.
So finally, with all that in mind, what does it all mean for interest rates then?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's pretty central to our view. I think, you know, so the risk of pushing rates up is what we've seen in inflation. So, you know, wage pressures have sort of moderated a bit, but inflation has stayed quite high. And so it is a bit of a difficult read, that backdrop of the kind of the cooling wage growth and maybe some, you know, more encouraging parts of the CPI we got in the last monthly data. So, you know, for the first time, we've actually seen a notable easing in things like insurance and some of those other, you know, market service-based measures. Obviously, some other things like a surprise on the good side kind of pushes it up. So, you know, what does that mean? I think, you know, the RBA's noted and we would agree is that really, you know, there is a risk to the upside on inflation. This kind of has been there for a while and it's materialized over the last couple of quarters. And so, you know, the RBA rightly so is concerned about how quickly they can bring inflation back to target, but they're obviously very much weighing up against, you know, what happens in the labor market and growth. We know that growth has slowed. We know the labor market has eased a bit. Has it eased enough? It's not quite clear, even though we know wage growth has moderated. So ultimately, you know, for our view, we think the RBA will remain quite cautious, quite reluctant to take rates any higher. So certainly while they could, you know, move higher in the next couple of months and be sure that inflation will come back to, you know, target within a relatively good time, you know, their target is mid sort of 26 at this point. You know, we think they'll remain on hold, really balancing in those risks, right? You've already seen growth slowing. We see unemployment rising to about 4.5%, which is, you know, still relatively low. It's kind of lower than it was pre-pandemic, but it is about a percentage point higher than it was at its trough. And so, you know, with the RBA really trying to hold onto those gains and navigate the so-called, you know, narrow path, we think ultimately, you know, they'll stay on hold. But what it means of staying on hold is actually that they'll just end up staying on hold for longer rather than hiking and then cutting sooner.
That is Gareth Spence there from NAB.
Need a few minutes to reset?
Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Good day for the Australian share market today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9%. With the details, I spoke with Grady Wolfe, a market analyst at Bell Direct. Grady, the market's up today. What's driving sentiment?
Absolutely. We took a strong lead from Wall Street overnight. Obviously, the NASDAQ and S&P 500 hitting record highs. And that's on the outlook for rate cuts out of the Fed very soon. And obviously, inflationary pressures easing in the US. So the latest jobs data out last week, that was the key driver of the rally over in the US so far. Obviously, the AI tech boom is driving the NASDAQ to all-time highs. And that's really exciting and obviously driving and fueling some tailwinds here for Australia's tech sector as well. Locally, we had NAB business confidence data out today, which was a surprise. Surprising reading because it went up to positive 4 points or index points, and that was from a minus two reading last reading in May. And then obviously economists were also expecting a decline to minus 5 points. So the fact that it's shifted to this really positive momentum is likely because of the broader market slowing and the broader economy slowing, but also purchase costs are easing as well. So that's really driving business confidence heading into June and July. But also then we have business conditions, on the other hand, fell 2 points. So that's driven by the employment rate and obviously declining employment and profitability indices. So we've got a really mixed reading today out of the NAB business confidence data and business conditions data, but definitely seeing a rally on the market today, which is a welcome change from the last few sessions.
Let's break some of that up, Grady. So what's the latest market interest rate pricing?
Yeah, looking at the RBA rate tracker, it's been a really volatile ride recently. So obviously the latest inflation print, which went up in the most recent quarter to 4.1 when it was expected to be 4%, So that peaked at 40% of an expected rate rise in the next RBA meeting on August 6th. And that was on June 27th, just after the inflation data came out. Now it's eased slightly to the expectation of only a 27% chance of a hike and a 73% chance of a hold. So investors and the markets alike are expecting that the RBA will hold higher for longer. So we are factoring that into all of our market prices, and obviously cost of living pressures are expected to remain high as well. But then again, the RBA didn't rule out anything. So they didn't rule out rate cuts, rate holds, or rate hikes. So it's a very, very economic driven market right now. And so any economic data released, retail sales went up recently. So anything released is really factoring into the RBA's decision, hence why it's such a volatile time with what the markets are pricing in. But at the moment, we're only pricing and a 27% chance of a rate hike.
You mentioned earlier as well the US market doing particularly well, the S&P 500 hitting a 35th record high overnight. You've got the likes of tech stocks doing particularly well. Also, Apple reclaiming the title as the world's number one company by market cap. What's your take on this tech excitement?
How high can valuations go is really the question we're looking at right now. And as long as earnings continue to keep growing and appreciating, they can continue to grow because obviously it's an earnings base and how much you're willing to pay for a company in their share price. Now, the Magnificent Seven, it is a battle of the best at the moment because we're just trying to see who is the best every day. Nvidia one day, Microsoft the next day, and obviously Apple at the moment. So it is a really big battle between all the Magnificent Seven, and it's definitely an AI-driven market right now. Traditionally, historically, in a high interest rate environment, tech stocks should come under pressure because they're high growth stocks with a lot of debt to fund their growth runway to profitability. But we have not seen that. The local tech sector is up 30% in this year to date, and it's just going from strength to strength. So investors have kind of pushed out the old historical trends in favor of what AI can do for the economy, for the world, for everything we know. And it's not just in the tech sector. It's across every market industry, from healthcare to mining to retail to utilities. It's everywhere. So it really is driving the market right now. And obviously, as we saw overnight, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both record highs, a 35th record high for the S&P 500, which is just phenomenal and unheard of in this current market environment, and really challenges trends that we're used to in the market. So what the really key catalyst for us will be is what the next earnings season will bring. Are earnings depreciating? Are earnings continue to grow? NVIDIA continuing to grow? All eyes will be on the reporting season, and we'll definitely potentially see some valuation pullbacks. But while earnings are still growing, valuations can still grow as well.
Grady, here I think the big corporate story of the day is Telstra. Months after it unlinked CPI mobile price rises, it said today that it is lifting mobile plans by about $2 to $3. So that's around about 4%. That's above inflation, right, on some products. What do you make of it? How do you think customers react? Because investors really like the news.
Telstra is the big story of the day today, and that is simply because any price rise across product services in any listed company, investors love it, because that means margin appreciation and it means profitability is on the horizon, or further profitability for any company like Telstra. Now, Telstra's really undergone a different restructure recently. Now, untying to CPI is a smart move, because CPI is easing in line with the RBA's target rate to 2 to 3%. So with the easing, you can't really link your prices to growth in that. And so Telstra has seen this as an opportunity to continue to raise prices, not only to be competitive, but also to really offer their or expand their margins and ensure they have enough money to go through with the AI spend that they're really allocating resources and money to. We saw this recently with their 2,800 job cut announcement, and that's really working into this restructuring way forward. So we're expecting Telstra to go really hard at the investment in AI and their technology revolution. So today's announcement of their product increase and their certain price increase across the board is really playing into that. But obviously, customers are not going to be too happy about that. Telstra is known for their premium prices, so this only worsens the case for customers. So we might see some increased switching across the board to Vodafone, Optus and other providers in the market. But Telstra having such a big market presence and such a dominance in the market, we might see that they continue to soar from strength to strength. But this is all pointing in the right direction and really plays into the AI tech revolution that Telstra is really going hard at.
Yeah, I saw a UBS note today which said that Telstra has got a 47% market share in mobiles. Finally, Grady, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, it's about the AI revolution, as we've spoken about throughout the whole podcast today and about the whole show today. But it's really around the affiliate services and processes and operations in the value chain for AI for me at the moment. So seeing how much water AI generation needs and the servers need to cool them, how much energy and power is required, it is simply astronomical. So with the current water supplies, water is one of the scarcest natural supplies in the world. We're going to need more water to cool these systems. So those producers and those listed companies with water supplies, like Duxton Water is one that I looked at the other day, even AGL Energy, Origin Energy, these providers are really going to benefit from the AI movement. And they're an opportunity to get AI diversification in your portfolio without directly investing in an NVIDIA or any of the tech shares that are in the space, but also nuclear power. So a lot of the AI generators are looking for different power sources to ensure they have the right amount of power to keep running and to keep operationally efficient. So nuclear power and so uranium miners are really faring well from this over the coming months.
It's Grady Wolf there from Bell Direct.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.